R&B Talks, episode 64, veganism and food and diet and that damn there meats and vegetables. And action.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks. R&B.
Not B&R. Talks. For cold, because it's been kind of cold lately.
It's 30-something this morning, man.
Dude, I walked out the door this morning, and I had a shacket. You know what they call it? A shacket? Like a fur. I had a shacket on. I don't know why they call it that. I just thought it was some very heavy flannel. Those things have been around forever.
The shirt jacket.
Yeah, shirt jacket. Shacket. Had a shacket on. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry.
You know what? Here's the thing. I love Sam Adams Oktoberfest. That's my favorite beer of all time. I absolutely find it enjoyable.
As you should.
And tasty. So, Brian, we celebrated my graduation.
We did.
From Liberty on Sunday.
And then we had a very spirited conversation. I appreciated it with your father-in-law. It was very, although I will say openly, I did not agree with everything that he said. It was a very spirited, and I learned a lot about him, and I appreciated the conversation. Very much did. And I brought Reggie beer steins and tools that we don't know what they are yet. Right.
Yeah. Well, no. We'll ponder another time.
They're like, one of them looks like a torture device. Like you put your finger in it, you crank it down, and you get information. Maybe they used it in the Civil War.
But apparently, when I was cleaning up my fence row, uh-huh, I grabbed poison oak, and I have that.
Okay.
I mean, it's purple from here to here.
So Reggie, I'm gonna give you some advice.
Oh, here it comes.
Don't do that.
Oh. Shocker.
That's the best I got, man.
I just didn't even realize it, dude. I'm just like cleaning up, like grabbing shit and trying to get it out of there. And to beat all that, apparently I touched an area of my body I should not have touched. So that has also been itching like mad, which is...
So you got poison oak wiener.
Dude, thankfully, though, that stuff is probably mostly gone. It wasn't hit very hard. Thankfully.
It was not pleasant, though.
No, that was stupid. It's like, what? Because you know, you can't just be sitting there in public and be like, oh, I got to scratch my wiener. That doesn't work, you know?
I beg to differ. I will scratch my wiener
no,
in public.
No, that is uncouth and ungentlemanlike behavior, sir.
Listen, man. If it itches, it itches.
I know.
All right, so...
I'm not scratching my balls in public, dude.
Let's approach this from a scientific method, Reggie. Mm. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What methodology does one use when there is a terribly urgent itch there in order to take care of it?
You must go to a reserved location where you are out of the public eye and therefore take care of it there.
But not the bushes, because then it's just weird.
I don't even care about that. Just saying, you're not sitting there in front of a crowd of people going...
Digging in.
Just digging.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story.
Oh, boy.
That relates to this, sort of indirectly. My grandmother, my mom used to own a little restaurant, a little kind of hole in the wall, did like blue plate special lunches and ice cream and stuff like that. And they had a woman that worked for them. She was a fairly disgusting woman. And dude, like all the time, I mean, I think they finally fired her for it, but she was just digging in the crotch constantly. And kept being repeatedly told, you can't do that when you're serving food. And then finally, I think they had to fire. I was like, dude, is that just a general rule? Don't dig in your private area whilst making someone's meal.
No, you don't do that. So along with this, though, so I've got to the point with my whole daily wood splitting thing, right? Yeah. Like 30 minutes of it is either not enough or I have to amp up the
you have to go harder.
I can't though. If I go any harder, I think I'm gonna. Because I'm really swinging it, the stuff really hard anyway.
Well, but what you're doing is what's referred to as an ultimate impact. So that's the thing that you're doing is not only affecting your muscles and your tendons and your connective tissues, but it's impacting your bones. So you got to be careful because you could start small fractures, things like that.
So. But I think there's two things here, what I realized today, because it's, you know, like, A, it's cooler. So, like, when it's cooler, I don't feel like I've done as much as I would have, because you're not all, like, you're not as hot. You're not, like, it's just.
You're sweating, but you're not hot.
No. And I was used to it during the gym. It was today when it was, like, this realization. I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, you know, I thought I wasn't doing enough, but I think I'm still doing the same thing. It's just. It's not 92 degrees out. It's, you know, 54.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't have to sweat to get a good workout.
No, but I guess the thing is, I was thinking about it, like, I am at that point where I have to do something else too, in order. But at the same token, I'm not looking at it as a point to, like, I want to get buff kind of thing. It's just to be healthy.
It's just to feel better.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, you don't have to, like, it's a totally different mindset than if you're trying to sculpt or change your body in any way. Other, like, physically, like, okay, I need to cut this. Cause you know, when I was doing all the stuff before, it was like very much I'm going to target this area, try to get it down, you know, and it was a different approach.
Got to know your carb cycle and your sugar intake and track all that crap.
But it was like, okay, I need to do a little more sculpting on my triceps, so therefore I'm going to do that different, or
I'm going to go higher reps.
This isn't like that at all. So at the same token, I'm really not worried about it because I'm still maintaining a physical thing and still burning. But you do become more efficient at that same activity, though, right? You do.
Yes.
So I need to get an old tire. I've really come to the mind. I need to get an old tractor tire that I can just throw down there, hit with a sledgehammer, and don't have to worry about stopping, picking up something, put it here, then swing. Then I can do like almost like a cycle of hit the tire with the sledgehammer, flipping it even, and doing that kind of, you change it up. And I think I could go as hard as that as I wanted to.
Dude, I love that. And I would love to come do that with you. That's one of my favorite things to do is flip tires and swing hammers. I like maces and stuff like that for when you're doing those exercises.
So I'm going to look for that. I got a family friend that does have a couple old tractor tires. I'm trying to, just don't have a way to get them over here right now, but I'm working about that, but
you flip it
to flip it all the way over,
all the way over,
all the way over.
Just start.
So, the other thing for you, Brian, is I have come to the realization that I am a beast. You're welcome.
Okay. Context is going to be necessary.
I'm just a brute.
Well, I've known that all the time I've known you.
I know, dude, but like my daughters were, not that they are a judge of this, but you know, like, it's like they and I don't mean, I am not comparable to like some of these World's Strongest Men guys or whatever. I'm not saying that. But, you know, but it's something when you can pick up a log that most guys probably can't or even would even try and do that. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm at the age where that stuff can, if
you ain't paying attention,
dude. So I guess what I'm saying is, as beastly as you are at whatever age that is, you must cause I've stopped doing a lot of stuff like that now.
Yeah.
Because the other day, here's what happened. The other day, I was over here, and the electric company came over and cut down this oak tree that had like two intertwining, going two different ways with the power line right there. And although I could have probably done it, I was like, no, I better let them, because they'll just come out and get it done. So they cut it down for me. So me going, well, can't really get the tractor in there very much, you know, because the septic field is like right there and all this stuff, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'll just pick this thing up, right?
Yeah.
And so I go to pick it up, and so what I did was I cut this one. It was about, I don't know, like that big around, about 8 foot long. 6 foot long, probably. Let's be real. I was like, yeah, well,
but we're doing man math. Like, this is 6 inches. No.
But it's like, so I cut it and I'm like, you know, I'll just move it. So I picked it up.
Yeah.
And it was really heavy, even for me. Like, yeah. I'm like, and I picked it up and I'm like, you know, and it was just a sudden, what the hell are you doing?
Did you have that moment where you didn't know whether to breathe or not for a second? You were like, should I take an ETH?
No, I had this moment where like, okay, I'm either about to lose all my intestines or my lungs are going to explode or my whole body's just going to decide to just
quit.
Because it was way too heavy. Way too heavy.
Well, I mean, see, my workouts now are completely different. Like, I do a lot of functional workouts now. I'm look, man, I have no problem saying I'm almost 50 years old. At 50 years old, I can still go to the gym and work out for 2 hours and do just fine. But it's different now. A lot of higher reps, a lot of moderate weight. Also do a lot of burst cardio, a lot of air bike, a lot of uphill on the treadmill with a weighted vest on, things like that. Because I'm more worried about heart health. I mean, I'm strong enough, dude. There's nothing I've ran into that I can't really take care of. But I'm more worried as I get older about heart health.
Yeah. Right?
Heart disease runs in my family. So,
which,
you know,
leads us into the conversation for today.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And well, I kind of want to come back to some other stuff, but let's go ahead and get into the whole. So you had the topic idea of like why veganism is bad. And I think you can expand veganism into like
vegetarianism,
some of the other stuff. Yeah. But I would say, and I'll tell YouTube this. I mean, I looked at all kinds of stuff, dude, like all over the place between like Harvard Med School and Stanford and a couple other like papers on this stuff. And the statistical analysis they do over like, and it's only like 1,000 people that they can do for these tests, right? And so they had all these varied test results between different diets and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And there are some common things, but what I wanted to say was, it goes beyond that too, because of the way we have all this folic acid and processed stuff and everything else. So, but the problem with that is we know from some of these, there's a few select people in the field who said, hey, this is bad, this is bad. But there's not like a Harvard study on it or that kind of thing.
Okay. So let's give them a little background on me. I'm a licensed personal trainer. I'm a licensed cycling instructor. I am a certified sports nutritionist. Blah, blah, blah. Let me quantify mad what I meant. Mad
scientist genius.
I know. Mad scientist genius. This is my mad scientist genius, mad right?
Scientist so, genius.
dang, that's right. Let me enjoy that for a second. All right, cool. All right, anyway. So let me quantify what I mean by veganism is bad. Okay. So I gave a kind of a talk about this to a group of clients and I got a lot of blowback. So let me, and I broke it all down for them, but all right. So first of all, historically, veganism has no mainstay, right? If you go through history, the history books, there were definitely people who leaned more into the plant-based side of dieting, but they still had animal-based products in their diet. Right? Because there are certain things that you can get from red meat, from chicken, from fish, certain minerals that there is no substitute to put into your body. A lot of vegans or vegetarians that you run into are very iron deficient and they're taking iron supplements. But what people don't tell them about iron supplements are it's like a vitamin. It's like a multivitamin. When you take a multivitamin that's been compacted into a pill, you have binders. So you really only get about 50% at best of what is in that pill. Because when you flush the binders, all of the vitamins that you are taking that are stuck to the binders go out with it, right?
That's where the... Okay, let me ask you this then. Because this is important.
Yeah.
As far as vitamins go, the methylated, though, changes that.
That does. Or if you can find a quality liquid vitamin.
Yeah, which is usually really expensive.
They're horribly expensive. It's ridiculous.
Well, so is the methylated, though.
Yeah, methylated is crazy.
But what exactly? So let me, because I could say this, but I'm going to ask you, what exactly is a methylated vitamin?
It's basically it's a pure vitamin. It's a pure form of compressed vitamin, right?
Like without the binder.
Without the binders.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and they are horribly expensive. I mean, the average methylated vitamin supplement is probably three to five times more expensive than whatever you're buying off the shelf.
But I do. I switch.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what is it called? Optimized by 10X Health.
Yeah.
Gary Brecka. Guy on Instagram I follow a lot.
Yep.
It's his thing. So I switched to that. And it's about what is that? It's like $100 every other month.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it might be even $100 a month.
It's $100 a month. Where a bottle of Centrum, a 90-count bottle of Centrum that'll last you 3 months is $20.
Yeah, right? But I gotta tell you, man. The difference is noticeable just by switching the vitamin. The
absolutely.
It was, and I went from not Centrum, but it was like the one a day men's vitamin, multivitamin, to that optimized 10X health vitamin. And it was, dude, drastic. It was a drastic difference.
Well,
I felt it.
And here's the thing. I also will never deter anybody from taking a multivitamin. Any extra vitamin fortification you can put in your body will help your immune system.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if all you can afford to take is a Centrum one a day, whatever it is that you're taking, please continue to take it.
Remember the government ones that were white with just multivitamins?
Yeah. I mean, you take it because it's going to help fortify your immune system. It's going to help recovery. It's going to help with sleep. All the things that are inside of a multivitamin serve a purpose, right? But here's what I mean about... Okay, the basic building block for the human body outside of water is protein.
Protein, yes.
Okay, so people all the time will go, well, I get protein in my vegan diet. That's partially true, and let me tell you why that's partially true. Is there protein in an all-vegetable diet? Technically, yes.
There's some.
But they're partial proteins. So you're taking a complete protein profile, complete protein cell, and in vegetables, you're only getting a piece of that, right? Now, is that to say that vegetables are bad? No. There are a lot of people out there that have the certain allergies where they can't take in red meat, they can't take in certain things. So the vegan diet can, in my opinion, is appropriate in a situation where a person has certain allergies and they can't do certain things. But if you're looking to get a complete protein cell, fish and red meat are the best two ways to do it. Now, I don't vilify chicken, but red meat is the absolute king. And when I say red meat, I don't mean a Big Mac. Calories aren't equal. Proteins aren't equal. When you have a super processed food, it's not going to give you the complete thing that's something that you go out and buy that's a full raw piece of meat that you cook yourself, right? So
because we both follow him, Jordan Peterson. Yeah. He doesn't eat ground meat.
Well, he
eats just steak and stuff.
Well, he eats steak and spinach.
That's it.
And the reason he does that, it's a modified version of the carnivore diet because the carnivore diet usually avoids any kind of spinach or anything like that. It's really a dairy-based diet. There are so many good things to say about it. I mean, almost 100% of the cases of people who took on carnivore that had eczema, things like that, it cleared up.
Yeah, it does a lot.
Autoimmune diseases almost completely disappear on the carnivore diet because you're going back to the original diet. Now, this goes back to the part of this that gets to me the most is things like super processed food or what they call Frankenfood. Right. Super processed foods are simply just to give you an example. When tobacco companies began to buy up food companies after cigarettes became public enemy number one, tobacco companies stayed wealthy by buying up food companies and they bought up many of them.
And like Nicoderm and all the help get you off smoking stuff.
Yeah. And
I'm like leaking. So let me tell you what this is. So just so if anybody sees it,
not a mummy.
Well, I put a baking soda.
Oh, got it. Makes sense.
Witch hazel kind of slurry, wrapped it up in this to help so I wouldn't be itching my arm like
Yeah, like trying to dig a hole.
Nonstop. Well, it's anyway. So that's just why. If you see, I'm not trying to smuggle anything.
But but when tobacco companies purchased food companies, we went from having about 10 to 12, what I call, not food preservatives that go into food, to having over 10,000.
But it makes sense because the cigarettes that they were producing wasn't just tobacco.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were putting in other fillers, binders.
Which is why tobacco became as addictive as it did, because they purposefully created
it
that way.
This is what I tell people all the time. A cigar is vastly different. There's three parts of a cigar. There's
a wrapper,
a binder, and a filler. But it's all tobacco leaves.
Yeah.
All those different types of leaves make those different things, right? Yes. That's it. There's not anything else in this besides tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, well, same thing with pipe tobacco, besides flavorings and stuff that they do. But in general, yeah.
So anyway. So let's talk about veganism for a second, in the sense of not to mention, just going back to who we are, the word vegan, vegetarian are not mentioned in the Bible. Even the Levitical diet had dairy or meat-based products in it.
Which was not a...
Not a
moral law or a law that should be applied. That was specifically for the Levites to separate themselves from the surrounding areas to demonstrate who God was. So let's just say that too.
But yeah, anyway, so... The proteins in meats, the proteins in fish, they supply things to your body that you don't normally get. So let's say you go out and you have a hard work day in the yard, right?
Yeah.
And you eat a salad and you wake up the next morning. You're hungrier, number one, because you haven't satiated your body. And number two, no protein, so no recovery. You're not rebuilding the muscle. You're actually getting weaker as time goes on. Now, what are some of the drawbacks of vegan diets besides that? Number one, overeating is the number one thing you see on a vegan diet. And why? Because protein satiates appetite. Protein stops the need to intake food. It tells you that you're full. It takes longer for your body to process, right? Number two, high carb intake. The very, very high carb intake. And people don't realize that you're not eating meat. You're putting in, you know, Ezekiel breads and things like that, that are high, high, high carbohydrate count. So you have what's referred to as what's called skinny fat, which is you have a little belly and no muscle tone because you've not allowed your body to recover properly or supplied it with protein to keep it strong. So one of the things I try to tell people is, even if you don't like red meat, chicken or fish, right? You need a source of protein, right? And pea protein and soy protein don't, especially in men. In men, they create estrogen. Well, that's the antithesis of testosterone.
Yeah,
which is a good healthy testosterone level in men not only helps with sexual function, but it helps with the maintaining of lean muscle mass.
Well, and also mental acuity.
Well, yeah.
In a man, you need, there's the, I forgot what it is, but there's a link between testosterone and brain function or something.
Well, and also, here's another interesting study.
I think.
You know, when people who are on a purely vegan diet have a higher instance of brain-based diseases.
Well, one of the things I did read that seemed to be common was, while some vegetarian or vegan diets can lower the congestive heart failure type of risks.
Yes.
The overwhelming research was that things like dementia and immune systems and
Alzheimer's,
all those things were increased elevated,
right?
Quite a bit.
Which also coincides with the fact that we're the only country left in the world that refers to Alzheimer's and dementia as Alzheimer's and dementia. In every other country, it's known as type 3 diabetes. And the reason it's known as that is inside your brain are protein receptors, okay? Amino receptors. Just like our insulin receptors get blocked, which causes diabetes, the amino receptors and our brains get blocked, which causes dementia and Alzheimer's. That has been directly linked to high processed food, Frankenfood, and sometimes vegan diets. Now, the link, the causal link between the two with veganism is much lower, but it's still higher than someone who is eating a healthy protein-based diet.
So my, here, okay, so I, yeah, that all good stuff. My problem with, so with my wife, so okay, when I met my wife, she said, well, I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegan and a vegetarian for this long, blah, 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 and whatever. And I said, well, there's two things we're going to have to fix before we get, if you want to get married, you know, if that's, because I said, this is, I'm kind of done playing around. And she agreed to this. Can't be vegetarian. That won't work. I'm not dealing with that. And, you know, can't be Catholic. And we got to you know, change that over to him. She goes, we'll see. Cause she thought, oh, I'd, you know, find all this stuff. Well, she'll tell you that even when, if you're a vegan or vegetarian for too long, you actually lose some of that enzymes to tear down protein.
You do.
And it becomes extremely difficult to start eating meat again. So in her case, it was, but like she slowly tried and it got to be better and better and better and better until it was fine. And, you know, and like for her, she even tried when she was going to have her son, when she was pregnant with her son, because she knew it wasn't the best way to go, especially when she was pregnant. So she was trying to, and it made her horribly sick and she couldn't do it. So then, you know, when she met me, we had time and we slowly worked that in and stuff.
Just kind of introduced it little by little.
Yep.
Right. Nothing major.
But the thing is too, when you look at what I look at, like vegetarian foods and substitutes and stuff, there's more junk in that crap than there is in like...
Oh, yeah. You look at the processed packages. And it's the thing. This whole play on buy organic. The word organic simply means grown from the ground. So technically, I could grow tomatoes in my black yard, slap organic sticker on them, and sell them for $8 a piece. That's because that's all you really need to fit organic. And let me be clear. They still use pesticides. They still use bug killers on organic brands, just like they use on other brands. Organic has become a way of making something more profitable.
Also, too, this whole like, well, we're against the like PETA and all this crap. So let's be clear. The scene in Tombstone, if you've seen it, it's been a viral thing where he says, well, you know, where your soybeans and your... all the vegetables are grown where the farmer that has to grow that kills every last mold, insect, everything on it in order to produce that. Well, that's not a lie. They do. That's absolutely the truth. The whole thing about it is like, they're trying to get rid of, make that soil as pristine as possible before they plant anything to increase the harvest. Okay. Yeah. But also too, like all like, I forgot what it is, but like in order to get almond milk, you need like so many more gallons of water than you do, like than a cow needs to make the same amount of milk. And like,
okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and bust a myth right now. There's no such thing as soy milk, almond milk. They are not milk. They are water that has been in, that has been
with some
strained
other,
with some other chemicals.
Yeah.
If you turn around a thing of soy milk and look at the ingredients, it's not impressive. Like it's a little more than you need.
This is what I mean by like for me even just like because the, so and this is one of the reasons why I'm so ecstatic about RFK joining the Trump team too, because of the way what we're doing in our food is just criminal, and I don't care if you're vegan, vegetarian, or whatever, if you can't. And you don't understand the ingredients on the package or the product you're doing, it's bloody wrong, dude.
Well, here's the biggest issue.
It's killing us.
Here's the biggest issue. In the United States, we are the only country in the world where the FDA does not regulate things like supplements. Doesn't regulate things like, you know, big food and big pharma can push the FDA in whatever direction they want them to go, which is why a lot of the foods that we eat, you can't pronounce what's in them, right? And I have a rule things like maltodextrose and things like that, they're not as simple as they like to make them out once you look at the chemical makeup of them, right? And if you take a look, I mean, it's as simple as this. In the 1950s and the 1960s, childhood obesity was 5% of the children in the United States. 5%. Now, not only do 50% of our children in the United States suffer from being obese, but all of them, of that 50%, 100% are suffering from metabolic diseases due to intakes of unhealthy foods. And then what does Big Pharma do? Well, Big Food made you fat. Now, Big Pharma is going to fix you with things like Ozempic and appetite-suppressing drugs, which main ingredient is ephedrine. Well, ephedrine has been repeatedly studied as being one of the most dangerous substances you can put in your body. If you go to a gas station, you can get lethal doses of ephedrine by buying those stacker pills that you see hanging outside of a gas station. Those little pills contain enough ephedrine, if someone is sensitive, to kill them. And you can buy it for $3 at the gas station, right? So one of the things I tell people is be thoughtful. That's all you really got to do. You know that still small voice? It'll tell you if you're supposed to eat it. Have you ever looked at something, like literally, Reggie, have you ever looked at something and gone, yeah, I can't eat that?
Yeah.
It's not because it doesn't taste good. And let me be clear. Let me be real clear. A Big Mac tastes good. A Whopper tastes good. A grande burrito from Taco Bell tastes good. But rat poop, to quote a famous movie line from Pulp Fiction, rat poop may stay like pumpkin pie, but that don't mean I'm going to eat it. Right? Like, so what I tell people is this. If you can cook it and you know what's in it, then do it.
So for me, when you talk about all this stuff too, and when I think about this, I think it's amazing how much and how well the human body can combat some of the toxins and stuff. Even because if you think about it, some of this crap that's in our food, we should be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we should be.
The amount of preservatives and chemicals that are in food are impossible.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, it's amazing how well the human body can, like, you know, how the kidneys and the pancreas and the, yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude, it's just how it all works and filters out stuff and does things. It's awesome. Even how we are today.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and here's another thing. When you go into a grocery store, right? There is something called grocery store science. And this came back in the 80s when things like Walmart boomed and Kroger's really exploded and started to grow. They created something called grocery store science. When you walk into a grocery store, usually the fresh produce section is off to the side. First thing you run into is donuts and pastries, right? Then you get into fresh foods.
Soda.
But everything inside of a grocery store that they want you to put your attention on is in the middle aisles, the colors that attract you. The reason why Kraft macaroni and cheese has a bright blue and orange box is they want you to see that. Yeah. They want that to draw your eye. Because what do? We eat with our eyes a lot of times, right? Nope. You've gone to a restaurant, somebody serves you a big juicy steak with a side of whatever, and you're just looking at it and you're like, you're already tasting it before you put it in your mouth, right? So, and then if you go into those grocery stores, what's usually blocking your access, visual access to the healthier parts of the store? It's cookie displays and potato chip displays and all of these things that are popping up. This is legitimate grocery store science because the profitability for those companies are in those products. They could care less if they threw all that produce out at the end of every day. As long as you're buying enough Doritos and mac and cheese and Hungry Man meals and all the garbage that they want you to eat because it's profitable, right?
True.
Now, here, I'm going to scare you even more.
Now, when those foods are profitable and that's what you're eating, who else profits?
Big pharma, yeah.
Big pharma profits because when you get too much sodium or your bad cholesterol gets too high or your blood pressure rises, where do you go? You go to the doctor and you get a blood pressure pill, right? Or you get this pill to control this or that. So it's all tied together. Big food and big pharma are hand in bloody hand when it comes to how we eat, what we eat, and what we ingest, because they both profit off each other. Correct. And here's how it does. It cycles back, because then you go get the pill, and the doctor goes, well, you know that mac and cheese you got? Buy the low-sodium version of it. Okay, so you're taking they took some of the salt out, but they still have the 39 other chemicals that the other box has, right? So there's no escaping it other than this. When people ask me, when I was still in the fitness industry, and I still talk to people and consult with people all the time, I love that industry. I will always have a passion for that industry. What I tell them is, don't go to a general practitioner. And they'll go, well, what does that mean? And there are companies like Waves for Wellness. Brigham Buehler owns a company called Waves for Wellness. If you ever get a chance, look up Brigham Buehler. He's a genius. And what Brigham Buehler has figured out is, and he owned pharmacies, and compounding pharmacies. And he got in all kinds of trouble and got screwed by the government 10 ways from Sunday. But what he figured out was, if I can fix your gut, I can fix 99% of the problems that you're having. Because our gut biomes get so unhealthy mm-hmm. that we are unable to even process the prescriptions that they write us. How many times have you got a prescription and you take it and you're like, well, this version doesn't work? Well, what he figured out was, well, your gut biome is so jacked up, you can't absorb anything. Your lower intestine is lined with garbage.
Yeah.
Right? So, and the problem with the vegan diet is we believe, because we've been sold this by all these people that love who veganism and vegetarianism is going to help clean out your system. There is no scientific proof, none that has been brought forward that says going on a high vegetable diet will clean out your gut biome.
Right.
None.
Right.
None at all. What happens is people have sudden bouts of weight loss. Well, and it's usually not permanent. They usually gain the weight back, but they'll have this sudden bout of weight loss. And in their mind, they're saying, well, I'm losing weight, so it's working. Actually, you're not losing weight. You're losing muscle mass. So you're becoming weaker. You're becoming more vulnerable. So one of the things I try to tell people is, And oh God, I get off on this, dude. I could go all day. Another problem we have is the supplement industry, companies like GNC. They always want to sell you a big bucket of protein. There's more fillers in that protein. If you're getting a 5 pound bucket of protein, a half a pound of it might actually be whey isolate protein. The rest of it is fillers.
Yep.
Sucralose and magnesium and all these things that you don't necessarily need, right? But right now, there's an athlete out there. His name is Chris Bumstead. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Bumstead.
No.
Chris Bumstead has won the Mr. Olympia and the Arnold Classic physique contest, I think 7 or 8 years running. Now, I don't know what steroid run he's on. He's not a mass monster like these guys you see in the full class. But Chris Bumstead says, get it from real food. He doesn't drink protein shakes. I eat real food, right? And that's what I tell people, eat real food. If you're hungry, eat real food. If you open your cabinet and there's nothing but processed food in it and you eat it and you're still hungry, it's because you're not satiating your appetite the way we were physically built to be satiated. One of the examples is, you've seen me eat, Reggie. I don't eat a lot.
No.
I usually eat a good amount of protein, a little bit of vegetables to get my vitamins, and I might have a cookie. But I don't eat a high amount of calories during a day. I lost 90 pounds by eating to satiate, not eating to eat. Right? Like today, I had chicken for lunch, for dinner at like 5:30 or 5 o'clock. I'm perfectly full. I have no desire to eat or intake anything because I took a high level of protein in. My appetite is satiated. I don't have any desire to nighttime snack, right?
I think, though, it takes a minute to get there.
Yeah, it does. It does. This is, me losing 90 pounds was 3 years.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you say, okay, I'm going to stop. I want to eat to satiate. I want to do mainly. I want to do my proteins. I want to do this. You have to like be consistent with that for quite a while in order for those other like that actual those like addictive signals to stop being triggered.
Oh, I'm a perfect example. All right, so how did I start? Dude, I was a soda guy. And when I say I was a soda guy, I was drinking 6 to 7 20-ounce bottles of Coke Zero a day. Like, literally, no water. I wasn't drinking any water. I was taking in soda. So the first thing I did, the very first thing I did, was I stopped drinking soda.
Well, yeah.
Well, people go, well, that's easy. No, it isn't.
Not if your habits so much.
No. I had withdrawal. Muscle aches, back aches, headaches. I had real symptoms of withdrawal from the chemicals that were in the soda. It took me 3 months of headaches, neck tension. I gritted my teeth while I was sleeping. I would wake up and my jaws would be sore. Because my body was in detox.
That's funny, dude.
The next thing I did was sugar, which is, we're going to talk about that too. Refined sugar. Dude, I was a junkie. Reese cups, Hershey bars, just throwing down, right? I stopped that and I went through withdrawal again. Because those chemicals from refined sugar, because what does refined sugar actually mean? People often think that means they're making the sugar more pure.
No.
They're stripping the sugar of everything natural. There is a chemical process to refining sugar, which strips every natural element away from sugar.
Yes.
So that it makes it more addictive.
Well, I will say too, though, there's a big difference between eating like a refined sugar candy or product than there is from eating like a chocolate cake, you know, you make out of
from scratch. Those cookies that you get, difference. Those completely homemade chocolate chip sea salt cookies.
Yeah.
I have no problem eating one of those, Reggie.
No.
Because everything in it is natural.
Oh yeah, she's amazing.
And
the brown butter sea salt chocolate chip cookies.
I don't feel any negative effects from the sugar.
Sourdough.
What happens when you eat a ton of refined sugar? It slows you down.
It does slow you down. It does for sure.
I don't feel any of that effect when I have one of those cookies.
No.
They're actually delicious.
Yeah. I mean, even when like my wife's the chocolate cobbler that she had this weekend, and the berry pie and the banana pudding, even though all that had some sugar in it, I don't know. That does totally different things than...
And something else that people don't realize, things like sugar in the raw, that's just a branding, man. It's still refined sugar, right? It's still refined sugar. Why is it brown, Brian? What's brown sugar? Well, sorry, but whoopty shit, man. It's still refined sugar.
I do want to say I've been looking at it's. I did not know this, but it is super easy to grow your own sugar cane. It is not difficult at all, and it grows like mad.
It does. It's like bamboo, man. Once you start growing it, it's coming.
I did not know that. Yeah. I'm like, well, crap. I need to, because then you don't have to worry about it. You can grow your own sugar. You know.
Yeah. Like, and there are like, you know, people ask me all the time, then what should I sweeten my coffee with? Agave nectar.
Monk fruit work. But see, getting quality. See, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Any of these things.
Real raw stevia. Not the stevia. Not the blah, blah, blah. Real raw stevia.
Erythritol.
Yeah.
Stevia is erythritol.
We have to be careful, though. And here's why I say that. Erythritol got a bad rap. And here's what happened. There was a study about 6 months ago that was done that connected erythritol to a higher risk of stroke.
I saw that. Yep.
Okay. Did you see the people that they tested?
I didn't. I know there was something fishy with it. You're trying to remind me, dude, because I don't remember.
Everyone they tested was either someone who had already had a stroke or was well on their way to having one. They didn't go and find healthy adults. But this is the manipulation of data, right? We want a certain result from our study. So we're going to take this product that isn't really that bad, but we're going to go find the worst possible people to give it to and then push the study in that direction.
See, that reminds me of like when they do these things about veganism and vegetarianism, mm-hmm. and just the people I've known, how many of them were either two kinds of people. And I don't mean to pigeonhole this, but it just seems like, either they're oblivious. Like they just don't, they're like in the clouds kind of vegan, or they're just miserable.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met like a happy vegan.
You ready for me to blow your mind again? All right. So what is the fuel for our brain?
Protein.
Saturated fat. Our brains actually use saturated fat.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To function.
Yes, cholesterol too.
When you starve your body of saturated fat and cholesterol, not trans fat. The studies on saturated fat have been so poorly done and blown out of proportion.
Agreed.
When you take saturated fat, when you take fat in general, low fat diets, when you don't give your brain the fats it needs to function, you become a dumbass.
Well, you know what's funny is that whole like old commercial where they had the butter tins.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the butter tins were probably better health than what they were. You know, it's like this whole thing trying to make fun of the people who eat all these butter.
All right, so I'll lay it on you, Reggie. Before I started on my journey, using all the products my wife bought, you know, the low-fat Lando Lakes, blah, 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 and all that stuff. My saturated fat, my bad fats, my triglycerides, all the bad stuff were so far out of whack. So now when I make eggs, it's in real butter. When I cook a steak, it's in real butter.
Yeah.
And the last time I went to the doctor, I was clean across the board.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's worth understanding that. Here's another thing where I think history doesn't quite tell the full story, but I think when you look back on what, because you get this mix of like mortality rates versus, and that gets confusing with health.
Yep.
Well, because I and this is where I think this would be like some digging that is really difficult to do, but like if you look back in what they were eating versus what they were doing,
yeah,
you know, well into their 60s doing stuff that people now go like, I can't, you know, they can't do it anymore because of their, but they were eating nothing that came out of a package. Everything was made and still functioning and still rolling around doing things, especially for men. Like I know a lot of, like, if you look at the Amish country, they don't stop working.
Yeah. And they don't have the level of heart attacks and diabetes
or dementia
or any of those things that we have.
It's dramatically different.
Real, they eat meat, real dairy, real butter. Bros are churning their own butter, yeah. Right?
Well, but, you know, if you think about it, Brian, what I ultimately, like if you said, well, you know what, look, let's put together a community where we did our own, everything we ate and consumed was made, you know, it's surprising though, if you put that together, just how little you really need. Now, of course, you got to have some cattle. You got to grow your own vegetables and do all this other stuff. You got to have that. But mainly, if you have enough people that know how to do certain things, like making pasta, if you make your own pasta, dramatically more healthy than everything else. Yes. You grow your own potatoes and make your own like French fries out of your potatoes from fats that you have from the animals and the other kind. It's dramatically different than for you and everything else. I mean, all this stuff, it becomes a huge, and it really doesn't take that much. So you got to wonder, like, well, and this is where I think we've been duped as a society to think, well, we'll let these big grocery stores and these big food companies control our diet rather than the communities themselves. If the communities would kind of say, like, you know what, we're going to start making food a priority. We know this is bad. Let's put together this stuff. And then you get back to having like a bakery that is right there that you buy your bread from. You have a butcher shop with that gets their meats from, you know, their cows from Bob's Cat Ranch over here and chickens from, you know, the
Betty's baking fresh bread to sell.
And yeah. I mean,
like, here's the thing. If you really want to make America healthy, I'll give you the clue. Do what should happen. Do you remember when we were kids and going to McDonald's was a treat?
Yeah.
It wasn't something you could afford to do every day. Right? You want to make people healthy? Double the price of a Big Mac and actually lower the price of healthy foods and watch America get thin again.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at how like, so the least expensive way per pound of meat is to buy a half a cow, yep, quarter cow, something like that, do it. Yep. Right? But you have to have the freezer space to do it. You have to know how to prepare it, all that kind of stuff.
And let's also be clear, with the advent of things like Facebook Marketplace and things like that, you can go and find nice used freezers. I think my wife and I, for our cube freezer, I think we paid $50.
But I think there's been times though when like it's like everybody bought a freezer.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't find one.
Well, like my grandparents on both of my sides of the family, my great grandparents, they had a refrigerator, and in the basement or in the garage, they had a freezer. Whether it was a standing like refrigerator style freezer or whether it was a box freezer, they had an ice box freezer somewhere in that house. And what was always in that freezer? Meat.
Yeah.
Soups that they had made from scratch that they were sustenance. One of the greatest things that I think we miss every day is, you know, when we talk to people about eating wild game, oh my gosh, why would I want to do that? We're going to kill Bambi. First off, Bambi's not a real, it's a cartoon character. And secondly, God put animals here to be under our domain for sustenance. He put those things here for us to eat. He didn't go, oh, we're just going to have a bunch of crazy wild animals. And you all just kind of got to live with them.
So there's an argument that goes back to like the whole like Garden of Eden and how like, you know, we should really live like that. But we can't. It's impossible. When the garden's gone.
Yeah.
We're already expelled from that. That's done.
And I would gamble most of what I have that they ate probably fowl.
Well, the thing is about the garden is like, you know, there's a lot of different interpretations of that particular environment. But one thing is he said, you're going to keep the garden. Yeah. There was work to do to manage the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. I'm sure they had to plow and grow.
I don't know. I mean, like, you don't know, but like, There was obviously things to do. It wasn't like this thing where Adam and Eve were just sitting and, you know, basking in the sun. No, I don't think it was like that. They had purpose.
Yeah, they were specifically sent to do something.
You know, and even now, when he says, like, go forth and prosper and, you know, populate the earth kind of stuff. But again, our bodies are not designed to, we're an omnivore.
Yeah.
We're not a herbivore.
No.
We're not a carnivore.
We're an omnivore.
Omnivore. I mean, that's just how we are.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I love Brussels sprouts that have been smoked or grilled. I love asparagus. I love I like a good wedge salad with some blue cheese and some bacon on it. I love vegetables. I love broccoli and cauliflower. I love those things. But that's only part of what I am.
Well, sure.
Right? I also love a really good steak. I love Reggie's brisket. Like, If Reggie brought me a plate of brisket right now, I would just put my face in it. But we are meant to have all those things. And I tell people too, you know, people go, well, Brian, what do you expect me to be perfect? No, but here's my advice. Okay. If you're craving a Snicker bar, get a regular Snicker bar and eat it then. Here's what happens when we try to purge too hard. We binge.
Yeah, like
I deserve this. No. Hey, man, like today at lunch, I ate my lunch. I had this wonderful homemade beef vegetable soup that Julie made. All fresh vegetables, fresh meat. Just absolutely fantastic. She makes the best soups, dude. Like, I can't tell you how good her soups are.
Julie's a regular soup guy, too. Yeah. It's crazy what she does.
So I had beef vegetable soup, and I was still hungry. And I had a little craving for some sugar. So I walked over to the vending machine, and I got a standard size Snickers bar. And I ate the Snickers bar. And it was done and over with, right? The sugar craving was gone.
There's a guy on YouTube that takes like Kit Kats, Twix, Snickers, and makes them like without all the junk, goes through the process.
Dude, Kent Rollins. The Crunchwrap Supreme I made for you.
I know.
That was Kent Rollins, man.
But I love the Kent Rollins stuff. But I really want to try like these. The homemade Twix he had was like he took and made his own shortbread cookie.
Yeah.
And then made his own caramel, did all this stuff and made it into this thing. Oh my God, bro. I got to do that. Because look, I think you're right on this. It's like, okay, it's not about you totally just say no. And I think this is again attributed to the human body and how it is. Like you can have a candy bar so often. That's
not gonna hurt you.
That's not gonna do anything. But if you're eating McDonald's every day, Taco Bell here, there, and all you do is eat out at these fast food places or cheap places, that's totally gonna wreck your body.
And I also I sympathize. It's cheaper to eat garbage than it is to eat healthy. If you go to the grocery store and you buy, if you take $300 to the grocery store and you spend $300 on Doritos and Cheetos and macaroni and cheese and Hungry Man meals, you're going to fill two grocery carts full.
Yeah, but $300 doesn't get you a cart.
But if I take $300 in and I buy lettuce and vegetables and meat and cheese and good dairy, and I buy, you know, fresh baked bread, I might feel, if I'm lucky and I get some sales, I might fill my cart 2/3 full. Mm. Maybe.
Well, it depends on the meat too.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, right now, like in the United States, beef is out of control in a grocery store. When hamburger is $6 a pound, hamburger, not ribeye, or porterhouse, or T-bone, regular ground chuck 80/20 is $6 a pound.
Okay.
That is retarded.
It is, especially for the quality of beef
is. Yeah, it's low quality beef.
So this is another thing I want to make sure everybody knows. Like, if you go to a local rancher who sells you a cow, you compare those two pieces of meat. If I have a ribeye from my local cattle guy and I have a ribeye from the store, unless you bought the deli premium Angus cut, whatever, even then,
it's still injected with that stupid red dye.
You still can tell the difference, and it looks completely different.
It does. It doesn't. It looks like two.
Well, not completely different. But I'm saying, you know, it's. You can say, okay, yeah, that's different.
You know, I mean, they've even regulated in most states that wild game can't be sold.
Yeah.
Well, because if you did, you'd put these gnarly meat factories out of business.
Well, you know, like we up until while I was in school, I couldn't do this. But before school, I'd try to get 3 or 4 deer a year, and we put them in the freezer. We process them ourselves. Did all that stuff. Thanks to my in-laws who are just amazing. They would help us do all that stuff, and we process all the deer, and they would go in our freezer, and that's what we tried to eat all the time, because the venison, so much better. And people, venison gets a bad rap of being gamey and all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's because it depends on how you process it.
Well, that's not, it's not even just that too. It's like, if you have a buck and you have an old buck, well, that meat is not going to be that great, really. Now, yeah, you can do it. You can do it okay where it can, but you really have to know how to, not just like make sure there's no fur.
Yeah.
Make sure you've cleaned it really well.
Well, and also
all that stuff.
A lot of it's how you brine it and season it too.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But like
if you brine even an old deer, if you brine it well and you season it well, you can get rid of the largest part of that gaminess.
Here's the key: dry aging.
Yeah.
You really need to dry age something like that.
Dude, I've had cattle that because they either let it grow too long or they slaughtered it before it had grown enough, it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, not our first cow, but one of the cows we had grass-fed, it was the gamiest stuff, dude. It was awful. You would be fine, and then you would have this one bite that would about make you just like, whoa. It was so disappointing. We had a whole half a cow that, and we tried. We really tried. We didn't buy another one from him. We just couldn't do it because it's just not, we're not going to do that. The latest one though.
Served me that one day was fantastic.
That's the latest one from a place around here called Church Hill Farms. But that's a traditionally finished. So what that means is like, they'll actually finish it off with like some corn and stuff. Yeah.
What you do is you grass feed it up to a certain point, and when you're ready to finish it for slaughter, you corn feed it to give it some fat and flavor, and then bam, you got what you need.
Beautiful,
though. That was what you served me was amazing.
but it's so great though. That's what I mean. Like you gotta do some homework on this kind of stuff in order to know what you got and what you want to get.
Now, I am going to give the people some people to listen to. If you really want to know what's going on in your food and you really want to know what's going on in your diet, I'm going to give you some folks that you definitely want to go online and listen to. One is Brigham Bueller. We've already talked about him. Another is Casey and Callie Means. Another is Michaela Peterson, Jordan Peterson's daughter, super educated on this whole thing. Just a pleasure to listen to.
Well, let me say this about her though. I think she speaks differently than Jordan does, right? Because it's a different approach.
Yeah.
But also too, because of both her mom and dad's illnesses.
Yeah.
That she had to, and her own.
Yeah. She had terrible illnesses.
There's all this stuff in their family, but I think she articulates it. Not better, but it's different than Jordan.
It's more, listen, you know, and let me be clear. I love Jordan Peterson.
I do,
I've read everything he's put out there. I listen to his podcast every week. but if you're not aware of how to listen to Jordan and how to absorb the information, it can get overwhelming.
Yeah.
But Michaela kind of speaks on a more, a more person-to-person level when she talks about her journey and why she does what she does. But if you, just those people, if you'll listen to those people, if you'll listen to them, I tell you what, listen to Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan's journey with food. His journey with food is.
I still want to try his the stuff he promotes all the time.
The mushroom coffee stuff?
Because I do Rise Superfoods.
So do I.
I do the Rise coffee.
Yeah.
And I must say that took a while to actually say, you know, I think I am good. Like it does. You have to be, I mean, there's a long process for that, you know?
You know, some recommendations I'll make for people that will help too is nootropics. You know, nootropics are basically a way to hydrate your brain and to give your brain minerals it needs. There's a product called Alpha Brain by a company called Onnit. It's an absolutely fantastic product, I mean, for me, when I took it, I needed it at a time when I was working on myself and trying to get my you know, was getting my certifications, and I was like, you know, I'm going to try this product because I've heard everybody talking about it. And I took it, and it was amazing the how much it helped with just brain fog and clarity. So nootropics are a way to do it. Supplements are a great way, but what I would encourage people to do is study your supplements. Study your supplements.
Well, and know what supplement is, because again, we're looking at, it's not just like saying, oh, I need to take this.
Yeah.
But it's also, we'll take that like in its best
form. In its rawest form.
Or whatever is the best.
Well, like creatine, for example. I take creatine because it helps me maintain strength. But I take X3, which is it's literally raw creatine. Like it doesn't have any fillers. So when I put that in my water, it's flavorless. And I'm working out and I'm drinking that water, I'm getting 100% dosage of creatine, right?
That's cool.
So, but to talk about all this is to say this, you know, I don't want to beat on anybody who's a vegan or a vegetarian. You're going to do what you're going to do. But there's a reason you're iron deficient. There's a reason that there's a lot of anemic vegetarians out there. There's a reason why when vegans go into a gym or an exercise routine that they struggle a lot more than someone who's eating a meat-based diet, because you're not recovering.
Immune system's more compromised and can be a little weaker.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things like that.
Sure. And there are all kinds of supplements you can take to try to boost your immune system. But let me also dispel this. All these people that are saying, well, the doctor said I can process 1,500 IUs of vitamin C every day, so I'm going to take 10,000 IUs. You're going to piss out 8,500 IUs of vitamin C. Your body can only process so much in a day, right? Protein.
Unless you're deficient in a vitamin.
Unless you're deficient. But if you're just taking it because you think, a lot of people are just like, I'm going to drink emergency every day because I think that'll help me. If you already have appropriate levels of vitamin C and you start taking triple and quadruple your dose, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, the whole supplement industry is based on what I like to call mega dosing, which is, oh, well, this creatine has 3 grams of creatine per scoop. Well, ultra mega fucktastic creatine has 38 grams of creatine per dose. Great. You just pooped it out. It doesn't matter.
Better.
Right? It doesn't matter. The science is our bodies can process so much of something in a 24-hour period. It doesn't matter how much you take. Your body's only going to process that much.
Okay. So the thing that all of this leads me to, and what question I've been asking myself and that I don't have an answer for, because it's just... So we have someone that is part of this election cycle. RFK Jr.
Yes.
Who is is such a refreshing voice to our big food, big pharma type of stuff. Like I don't know. I'm shocked that even that would be a thing right now. Mm-hmm. What boggles me though is like, this isn't a big thing for anybody who's liberal leaning.
Because they're in the pocket of big pharma, dude.
But I mean, no, what I'm saying is for people, like who people see if they're just either not paying attention, they're just shrugging it off because he's with Trump or something. But him saying all that, like really saying, hey, make America healthy again, and having a deliberate like idea. And look, he's what is he, 60 something?
Dude, he's in killer shape.
Dude's a shit house, man. Yeah. Like what? And you're gonna say, okay, you I don't care what party you prescribe to.
Yeah. You are an example of the pinnacle. And we're talking about a guy who was a heroin addict.
Yeah. Who did all? I mean, look. And but what I'm saying is those, like, he represents the classic liberalism kind of stance of like, don't put stuff in my, you know, you can't. Why are you forcing this stuff against these big establishment forces of food and pharma and all this stuff? The FDA, who is completely corrupt and not doing anything. Super corrupt. Like I don't understand why more people, not like Republicans or not like
just people in general,
aren't like, well, yeah.
Willful
ignorance. I know. A veil, whatever you would call it. But
I don't even want to call it the veil. We've talked about this before, Reggie.
You know.
Willful ignorance.
But it's just, what is wrong with you? Why can't you? I don't like Trump. I wouldn't say this stuff, how he proposed this stuff. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. But I don't care if I don't like him. Yeah. I care, you got Elon Musk who's about efficiency.
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding me? How could you look at the government and go, oh, we don't need that. I don't want that.
Why would we want efficiency?
Why would we want that?
Government efficiency?
We're spending trillions of dollars. It's okay. You know. No, you're retarded. Yeah. Our healthy stuff. We have childhood obesity going through the roof. We have all these, Alzheimer's and dementia are skyrocketing and everything.
They're literally, think about this. When we were kids, Reggie, how many times did you hear about a relative having Alzheimer's?
Yeah, dementia? It was very rare. It was pretty rare.
But now it is everywhere. That alone should be alarming.
That's what I'm saying. Even if you just took the health of the country and said the people itself need to be healthier.
Yeah.
And you have one particular person who is really fired up about it. Who
wants to help.
Who's actually had lawsuits and won them with huge things, right? Yeah. That really makes... I don't know. It just blows me away that we wouldn't. That's what I wanted to get back to, because I just think of I'm not a political. Look, I pay attention to politics because it's the only way because we have agency in who we vote for. I don't really, at the end of the day, think that politics is the savior of anything. But I do want to use my agency to vote for something.
Self-preservation dies at the feet of sinful pleasure.
Well, that's true, yes.
And
apropos,
and we talked about the veils last week, right? Self-preservation dies at the feet of sinful pleasure,
or just irresponsibility. So,
well, not even that. When your eyes are covered with the veil, it feels good. Do it, which is the society that we live in.
Yeah,
does it feel good? Do it. Oh, you're a minor attracted person. If it feels good, do it. If you want to be a guy and you want to become a girl, if it feels good, do it. No regard for the long-term physical, mental, emotional, spiritual destruction that falls behind it. I want to feel good right now. Yeah. And so I'm going to willfully ignore this person who is telling me you're killing yourself because I want to feel good right now. I want to drink a 12-pack of Pepsi a day because it tastes good and it satiates me and it covers up my emotions. Emotional eating, man. I was an emotional eater, and I had to get that crap under control.
Yeah. Well, I do. For instance, I've had some really stressful times over the last few years just because of been health issues with Julie or that or this, and I'm still in school and still doing this and still doing that. And yeah, I've thrown down on some junk food and all that kind of crap. I don't deny my stress eating. I can't say that. Now going back to I consciously make changes though. So if you do have a period of stress eating, it doesn't really hurt you as much as if you're doing it every day.
All right. So dude,
that's it.
All right. My mother recently passed. My stepmother is in stage 4 liver cancer. I have a new job, which I love, but there's a lot of mental stress that comes along with it. If people don't think I haven't thought, dude, I'm going to go home and eat a gallon of ice cream covered in chocolate sauce right now because it'll make me feel good, that would be wrong. But and I'm not going to say that I don't indulge. One thing that I've been trying to stay away from as of late is alcohol. And it's not because of what alcohol does. It's because my grandfather, I've got relatives who are alcoholics. That's what they indulged in to cover up their pain, right?
Yeah, So I'm with you on that one.
I've purposefully kind of stayed away from that. There's nothing wrong. But you're under control.
Well, yeah, but for instance, but I know that's what I mean. And,
most of the time, what are we drinking, Reggie? We're drinking water.
My thing is iced tea. I drink iced tea all day.
Yeah.
I make my own tea. And here's the thing about me. I don't even get the store-bought Louisiana or something anymore because I don't like, they crush up and they don't get the real leaves.
Yeah.
I buy this like iced tea blend.
You get like the tea.
Yeah. That's like, you it looks like leaves that are shredded up actually.
Yeah.
And I use that in my iced tea. That's how far I've gone with
the whole. And I'll admit, dude, I have vices. One of my vices is caffeine, dude.
Yeah, I love my coffee, dude.
I love coffee. I do drink energy drinks, but I don't drink garbage energy drinks.
Dude, I can't lie about this one. Monster Zero is like, I don't understand what I know it's probably terrible. I can't help it. It's like they're the ultraviolet.
Uh-huh.
That's the grape one.
Yeah.
Bro.
But for me,
But that's not it.
One of my favorite things in the whole wide world, Reggie, as stupid as this sounds, is Twizzlers.
I love Twizzlers, dude. Yep.
But I don't eat them all the time because if I did, I'd eat a bag of Twizzlers every day.
Cinnamon Juju Bears. That's been a thing of mine.
You want to know what's? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think I'm weird. I'm not a big cinnamon fan.
Well, that's okay. I love cinnamon, right? So Cinnamon Juju Bears is my thing forever. I'd buy them by the 5-pound bag of them, order them, and get them in. Now, no, I'm not eating them in one sitting or anything, but still, I'm chomping on them like all day, right?
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I used to buy a thing of Snickers from Sam's, right? Get the package. They're just here. So whenever you want one, you can get one. Well, don't do that no more.
Yeah. No. One of the things, and one of the things I love about my wife is, we don't keep a lot of junk food in the house.
Yeah, we're stopping. We've stopped a lot, dude.
And we there's these chips that you buy at Sam's Club. They're whole grain. They're great. They're gluten free.
Yeah.
Great in salsa. And I love a good salsa.
Dude, you know? Julie's mom makes killer salsa, dude.
But it's so refreshing that she makes it. Right?
From her tomatoes. Grows her own tomatoes and from that and jalapenos and all that stuff.
Yeah. You've had my wife's pico.
The pico's good.
It's so good.
It is so good.
Because it's house made.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's made with real ingredients. But
that's what I mean. Like if the communities would be like, you know what, we're done with this. We're, you know, the kick the Kroger out and then, okay, what we're going to do is, so Betty over here is killer at this. So let's, you know. But
here's the thing.
You know, you got to really.
If you want to change what Kroger's and Walmart does.
Buy the only stuff.
You have to change your expectation of Kroger's and Walmart.
Yeah.
If you go into Kroger's and Walmart and you look around, it's like, well, there's nothing here that's healthy, and you leave, they're eventually going to get the picture.
But here's what I'll say. The most biggest impact you can do on the economy and what you intake is find a farmer's market. Get what you can from the farmer's market. Does it? I mean, really, dude, honey, you can get local honey for one. It's incredibly better for you. Yeah. That is not completely raw. That is right.
And it has other, it's medicinal.
Huge.
If you buy honey, if you have allergies in your local area and you buy honey that is grown in your local area, it will actually take away your allergies.
So that's what I mean. Like if you really want to do this and make some changes, take the money you're spending on BS stuff. Like, I don't know, whatever it is, start going to the farmer market. Get a hookup of the, because there's always, I mean, well, at least around here, there's several different meat people that you can buy different things. We found, I mean, there's a guy that does, like I said, we got the cow, we've got the pork we usually buy at the one of the other places and stuff like that. I mean, dude, you just, if you do that and you drive more business to that type of thing, then more of it will come.
Support local business. Support local business.
Yeah.
I mean, support local craftsmen, support local farmers, support local growers. That is how we take away the power from big food. If we say, all right, we're not going to buy your box of Cheez-Its that has 200 ingredients in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy a box of, you know, crackers made by Betty, and I'm going to make my own Cheez-Its. I did that one day. I made homemade Cheez-Its. Yeah. They were fantastic. Dude, you take these little crackers, you buy them homemade, nothing in them. You put cheese on it, you slide them in the oven, and you bake them for 8 to 10 minutes. Pull them bad boys out. The cheese is nice and crispy. You got homemade cheese.
All right. So here's the other thing too.
Okay.
It's, we talked about a little bit about it, but I think about health and everything, but when you, especially when you, like, this isn't really related, but it makes me think of this about, from when we talk about like veganism and diets and stuff. Mm-hmm. Vices become a problem when you cut one thing out that you are either habitual or addicted to or something.
Yeah.
Other vices seem to come in.
Yes.
Okay. Well, those are also need to be treated as the same way you're doing. Like, just think about anything you're going to intake in your body. Mm-hmm. Needs to be ridiculed. You really need to make sure you have that down, what it is. So that's just my thing. Like, if you're going to get rid of one vice, just be careful of what other thing takes its place. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is stress. Stress is really like a kill.
Yeah. The cortisol hormone will kill you.
It's really huge, right? And I would say that, you know, a lot of people get down on a lot of people for, like, you know, if they have a couple drinks or especially in the Christian world, like, yeah. Oh, you've had, what, you know, you indulge too much.
You drank a beer in public.
Well, if you're
okay.
If you're dealing with a lot of stress though, and let's say a couple shots of whiskey helps you deal with your stress.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Now, not a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
If smoking a cigarette helps that stress level come down, even though I would say cigarettes are appalling and nasty, mm-hmm. I'd probably choose the appalling, nasty cigarette over a stress level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
that's just my advice. I'm not a professional.
I'll tell you how I've learned to deal with it, Reggie. I'll tell you how I've learned to deal with stress. And this is
working though.
This rails against everything we've been taught over the last 5 years. If I'm really stressed out or I'm really in a place where I'm struggling, I have surrounded myself with people that I know I can reach out to, that I can draw encouragement from. Right? I can call you if I'm having a hard time and say, Reggie, I'm having a hard time, bro. I need some advice. And you're going to give me the best advice you know how, but the most important thing is you're going to listen to me.
Sure.
And you're going to give me a chance to get that stress out. Because here's when vices really kick in. You're isolated. You're experiencing stress. You don't have an outlet of people or connections. So you begin to want to smother those feelings. And then it's, well, you know, maybe I'll start drinking, or maybe I'll start smoking pot, or maybe I'll start doing this, or maybe I'll start doing that. Now, I'll be the first guy to tell you, I don't smoke pot. Am I completely anti-marijuana? No, I'm not. I'm not the guy that's going to sit here and be like, marijuana is bad. There are many medicinal purposes that have been found within marijuana that help people, especially people with cancer or any kind of major disease. It helps with appetite and bringing down stress level.
Look, my dad would not eat. He had no appetite whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now he was at the, we didn't know it. We thought he had Parkinson's. He actually ended up being stroke stuff. Yeah. Well, cannabis was the only thing that would get him where he would want to eat.
Yeah. When he was hungry.
That was it.
Yeah.
Now it would also help with his shaking, his tremors, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Also too, autism, certain types of autism are greatly helped with certain types of cannabis. I know there was a young, and I don't remember her name. She was from around here, had a kid who had some pretty significant developmental issues. Yeah. And she was, there was a doctor or something had got, did some research, and she actually ended up moving out to a state where it was legal, because then they started treating her daughter. Her daughter completely changed. Like, it was huge. And I didn't even, if I didn't know them, I wouldn't have believed it, to be fair. It was crazy. So now, and I guess this is where I'm at with the Christian. Here's to the Christians. First of all, you got to pray for one. Okay. Look, prayer, it shouldn't even be a thing to say, but yeah, pray. Shouldn't have to tell you. The second thing is, do not be those legalistic buffoons who sit there and rail against alcohol and smoking and all that stuff. I think that's actually short-sighted. I think it's poor theological reasoning, and I really think that you're heretical when you start going down those roads. So let me just be direct about that. I think that you God put plants in here for a reason.
Yeah.
But of course I will always say it's within moderation. I think that's the key when you talk about any of this stuff.
Well, but this goes back to what I've always said about, remember we were talking the other day, we were having this very good conversation at Reggie's celebration, and I talked about the church has an image problem. And here's what I mean by that. All right, Reggie, I don't know you at all, and I see you drinking, and I go, I'm going to pray for you. And you don't know God. What does that mean to you?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
But if I sit down next to you and I say, hey, man, how's it going? My name's Brian. You know, how you doing? And we start talking and I start making an effort to get to know you first, right? We so many times want to run up to someone and grab them and be like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. A lot of people will stand there and let you pray. But they're not praying. They're just looking at you, waiting for you to finish so they can politely go thank you and get on about their day and whatever stress they're going through. But what I would encourage, one of the problems we have is you cannot tell someone to lean into Jesus if they don't know who Jesus is.
Yes, definitely.
And the best way for you to show them who Christ is to sit down with them and say, hey, how are you? Are you okay? You seem kind of down, man. What's going on?
Right.
My name is Brian. If you don't want to talk to me, that's cool. But I mean, I just kind of see you're kind of, you look like you're dealing with some stuff, man. Is there anything? Get to know them. Give them some time. You would be shocked how powerful and encouraging word can be in that situation.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Right. And we don't do that anymore.
No.
We want to hit them with the prayer, the Bible, and walk away. That's not how it's done.
Right.
Christ, here's the example I give people. Those men that followed Christ around, he knew them intimately.
Yeah,
he knew where their struggles were. He knew their families. He knew their wants, their hopes, their wishes. He knew all those things. And he treated them like brothers. Yeah. He didn't treat them like, I'm Jesus and you're the disciple and you're just going to do what I say. He earned their trust. He earned it by showing them the truth and being real with them and being, and this is what I tell people all the time, especially legalistic Christians. You're a Pharisee when you behave that way.
Correct.
You're not a Christian. You're a Pharisee. The Pharisees judged, punished, and rebuked.
Along that lines, if somebody wants to do this,
yeah,
look in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Paul's journey.
Yep.
Look at how the Thessalonians responded to Paul versus the Bereans.
Yeah.
Take those. Look at that and say, which one would you rather be?
Yeah.
That's it. I'd rather be a Berean.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, okay. I think we have... I have messed up this chair enough with the baking soda coming out of my bandage. We are R&B Talks. Thank you so much for watching and listening.
Subscribe.
Like it, don't like it, comment, don't comment.
Yell.
Whatever.
Stomp around. Shake your finger at us if you need to. It's okay. I get it.
We'll catch you next time.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie, but I don't know what we're talking about. No, I don't know yet. We will surprise you.
He will surprise you with something brilliant.
Yes. With mad scientist genius, Brian.
And mad scientist genius, Reggie.
Indeed.
Indeed.
We're R&B Talks.
See ya.
Bye-bye.